Say you wanted to be a farmer. Where would you even start? If your family doesn't have farmland already, where would you begin to look? What can young farmers do to get started in Wisconsin today? That is the topic of our conversation. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Larry Mueller. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. And our next guest, first, somebody you may know from our discussion about pawpaws just about a year ago. Adam D'Angelo joins us. He's a plant breeder at the Savannah Institute, which is a Midwest nonprofit helping to catalyze agroforestry in the upper Midwest. He also runs Project Pawpaw. And Adam, welcome back to The Larry Mueller Show.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
Also joining us today, Allison Volk, who is the director of the Biprotect Sell and Easement Acquisitions at the American Farmland Trust, which is a nonprofit working to protect farmland from development. Allison, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So this story began with an email that we received from you, Adam, about how excited you were that you were finally able to purchase some farmland. Can you tell us a little bit about what it took to get a young farmer like yourself a plot of land to farm?
Yeah, so I've been wanting to be a farmer for my entire life, and I've gone into agricultural science. You know, I'm a plant breeder. I've gone to school for agriculture. I've worked in agriculture. My parents managed a Christmas tree farm and a garden center growing up. And it's always been a dream to have some land and to be a farmer. And that dream just seemed to keep getting further and further away. And so I had really reached the end of my rope, end of my chain, and I had reached out to a bunch of local area land trusts and conservancies and other nonprofits, and I finally connected with this program called the Buy, Protect, Sell program, being run through American Farmland Trust, Renewing the Countryside, and Groundswell Land Trust. And they are working to help provide beginner farmers access to farmland that is in conservation easements, so it can never be developed.
So when did you close on this property?
This property, which is down in the town of Verona, I closed on at the end of January after a little bit of over a year and a half of negotiations and applying to get through the process.
Congratulations, young farmer.
Thank you very, very much.
What do you plan to grow there?
It's going to be a diversified fruit and nut farm. So you've had me on for pawpaws before. So we'll have some pawpaw trees, but also some chestnut trees, heart nuts, which are a Japanese walnut, honeyberries, which are going to be the next big berry crop.
I keep hearing about honeyberries. Like, I'm very excited.
Oh, they're excellent. They're like a blueberry, but they're easier to grow. They taste like honey, a little bit tart, make an excellent lemonade.
See, that sounds like something I'm ready to try. Tell me, you know, this is a passion of yours, obviously, but I'm curious about where this passion comes from for you. Where do you connect with farming so, I mean, like it's part of your identity?
Yeah, so it is a passion, and it stems from growing up around agriculture, being in towns that were rural and had a lot of agriculture going on. And I like to say, I used to take a ride in the school bus each morning, and there was a kid that got on the school bus, and he always smelled like dairy farm, because he worked at a dairy farm. And one day he got on, and he didn't smell like dairy farm. And what happened is his farm had gone out of business. It had gotten bought up. And I spent a long time thinking about, how could this have been prevented? And what I saw and what I realized later, really, I can't ascribe such knowledge to a 12-year-old.
As a kid on the school bus.
Looking back, I realized that if they had been engaged in some other form of agriculture, specialty crops, higher value crops, instead of trying to compete on a commodity basis, they could have kept that land. It had been in their family for hundreds of years. And so that's when I really began to see the potential of these niche crops as a way for farmers to make a living and support their community and family and food system on a smaller footprint.
Allison Volk, let's bring you into the conversation and the role that the American Farmland Trust plays in finding property for young farmers who want to find a way to be a farmer.
So AFT, about 4 or 5 years ago, started a Buy, Protect, Sell program where really fundamentally what we're trying to do is protect agricultural land so that it can remain available for agricultural use, and then help transition that land to the next generation of farmers like Adam. So Buy, Protect, Sell, it's really what it sounds like. We acquire agricultural land, protect it with something called a conservation easement. So we are using a tool that is a permanent deed restriction, removing the development potential of the property, but allowing the land to continue to be used for agricultural activity. It also has the result of pulling down the future sale price of the property, making it more affordable to young farmers. And then we work to try to connect that land with farmers who have business plans ready to farm on the land.
How is the American Farmland Trust able to do this? Where do the means come from to be able to create these easements and protect these young farmers?
Well, we work very closely with a lot of partners. You know, AFT works across the country in a lot of different states doing this work. And in the upper Midwest, we're very fortunate to have strong partners like Renewing the Countryside, which is based out of Minneapolis. They are very supportive of young farmers, helping them to become ready to access land. And then, you know, in this Dane County area, we've been very fortunate to partner with Groundswell Conservancy. You know, we kind of pride ourselves on being somewhat scrappy to try to make these projects work. You know, if we're buying high and selling low, it's not a great business model, right? So we have to try to come up with that funding difference in a variety of different ways. In Adam's particular case, you know, we were fortunate that Groundswell had connected with a landowner who wanted to see something like this happen and was very charitably minded and was able to sell at a discount. And we also were able to take advantage of funding through Dane County to help pay for the easement. So, you know, with Groundswell's support, we were able to kind of put a bunch of different pieces together to make this happen.
And what is the American Farmland Trust looking for? For farmers who are aging out, for farmers who are looking to move on, perhaps, what can they do to make sure that they keep their farm property a farmland?
Well, so we know that over the next 20 years, there's something like 300 million acres that's scheduled to change hands across the country. And that's a third of our agricultural land. And so, you know, buy, protect, sell is one tool that we're trying to make available to landowners who might want to see the land transfer to the next generation of farmers. And so, you know, ideally, if there are landowners out there who are kind of curious about this model in the Dane County area, we would hope they would reach out to Groundswell.
Okay.
Elsewhere, you know, they could reach out to American Farmland Trust. And we are, you know, happy to support them either in connecting them with resources that might be available to them locally or seeing if there's a way that we can be helpful.
Let's open this up to questions now that you may have for our guest. That's Allison Volk, director of the Buy, Protect, Sell, and Easement Acquisitions at the American Farmland Trust, which is a nonprofit working to protect farmland from development. And Adam D'Angelo, who has recently acquired his property in Verona to become a young farmer, also a plant breeder at the Savannah Institute, and he runs the Project Pawpaw, which we spoke to him about last year on the Larry Mueller Show. If you have questions, you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. If you have advice for young farmers, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Adam, what would you say is the biggest barrier for young farmers getting started today?
Well, of course, the biggest barrier is the price of land. It's always increasing. But one of the other barriers is the actual market around the land. And I think that's an unspoken major benefit to the Buy, Protect, Sell program is that it slows the process down.
Huh.
As soon as farmland hits the market right now, it's bought up almost instantly by speculators and developers and investors, and they have cash. A beginner farmer who doesn't have an exorbitant amount of wealth can't afford to just show up with a check. They often have to engage in FSA-backed loan programs or at the very least get a mortgage. And this farmland is selling within a day of being listed.
Oh.
So as soon as it hits the open market, you can consider it gone. You can consider it no longer going to go to a beginner farmer. It's going to go to someone who can invest in the land, or it's going to go to a larger operation. And so Buy, Protect, Sell, at the very least, allows a beginner farmer to connect with the land opportunity and allows them to line up their financing so that they can get on the land.
Allison, I would imagine in a competitive market like that, for this in order to work, you're going to have to count on the landowners themselves making a commitment to continuing farming this property.
Absolutely. And we are really fortunate to connect with landowners who care about the conservation of their property and the future stewardship of it. So those landowners who see the potential of a program like this and are willing to be patient through the process is a great asset to the program.
Because I think, you know, I hear the stories about data center proposals going up and how much money is involved in that and how they're looking for rural areas in order to build and how competitive that could be, that it becomes incumbent on the current landowner to be committed to farming past their own farming career for this to be able to work.
That's true. And I think the conservation easement gives an outgoing landowner that peace of mind, knowing that this land is going to remain available. It's going to be stewarded into the future, despite who might own it.
Let's go to Paul in Toman next. Paul, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Very applicable conversation today. I'm actually in the process of writing my will and setting up a trust, and I own 56 acres south of Rockland. It's 1031 exchange property, so it's investment, and it's just basically sitting. I roll it over with some rental properties. And I'm wondering if this, it's a hilly, it's kind of that coulee area. I call myself Metsä Farm, which is M-E-T-S-A, which is a Finnish word meaning forest, forest farming, which is a kind of a new idea. I have honeybees out there, hickory, oak. I'd like to get mushrooms going and things like that. But I'm getting older, need the new knees. I don't think I'm going to make it. So I'm thinking this, you know, and again, I don't really have anybody that I want to leave it to that would want a farm other than through a trust like this. So I'm wondering what are you looking for and how does the process of exchange work? Are you looking for donations of land or are you, do you actually purchase it from me? That kind of thing.
Paul, thank you so much for calling. And Allison, what would you say?
Well, we should talk. to be honest, you know, some of the things that we are looking for primarily, you know, are landowners that want to see the land farmed and made available for future farmers like Adam. You know, we do take a look at the historic use of the property and the soils and, you know, the productivity. But we also, you know, with the partnerships that we have, look at, you know, how can we find a new farmer who's going to be able to build a viable operation in this location on this property. And so there is a little bit of a...
it's matchmaking.
Yeah, exactly. You know, looking for the appropriate farmer who this is going to, you know, really work for them. So it's a lot of kind of due diligence on everybody's part.
Paul, I hope you follow up with the American Farmland Trust and see what the partnership can do. And Adam, as we're talking about partnerships, put these organizations together for me and how they are working to protect farmland in Wisconsin. You've got Groundswell, you've got Renewing the Countryside, and you've got Allison's organization, the American Farmland Trust.
Well, it takes a whole village, that's for sure. So Renewing the Countryside is where my journey started. They're, like Allison said, an organization focused on farmers, young farmers, sustainable ag, local food systems. And so that's where I started. And they eventually connected me with this request for proposal that was being opened by American Farmland Trust and Groundswell. I submitted a business plan. It ended up being like a 40-page business plan.
Did you do that on your own?
I did this on my own. It was my friends and family called it my manifesto. but it's really important because I think the thing that matters, really matters to these organizations is knowing that this is going to be an economically viable system. And so having a business plan like that, proving the feasibility of your plan and the suitability of your plan for the land and the land for your plan is a critical component. And so, yes, I submitted that to American Farmland Trust, who is a national organization working on this, and to Groundswell, who is a Dane County local Wisconsin-based organization. And they connected me with some additional partners, including the Food Finance Institute here at UW, and some other people to help me sort of finalize that business plan.
So how can someone benefit from your programs, Allison? What do you see as the upside here in light of the competition for this property that has anything to do with something other than farming?
So I think, like Adam had mentioned before, you know, one of the things that is pretty beneficial, I think, is giving farmers time, you know, to be able to start investing in their operation immediately once they're on the land. You know, I think having to act quickly or not having the all of the resources at their disposal to be able to pounce on land when it becomes available makes things very difficult for beginning farmers. And, you know, if we don't have farmers farming the land into the future, we're kind of stuck, right? So being able to give them time, invest in the business, make the property more viable, more productive, it gives them a shot at really making it.
Stuck may be an understatement when you talk about in the next 20 years, a third of the farmland coming up for, you know, whatever may be next. Adam, take us into the future. Look at your crystal ball. And if we lose that farmland to development and data centers, what have we lost?
Lee, I want you to think back to a very exciting time in our lives, 2020. And I want you to picture what happened
good times.
Yeah, best times ever. What happened when the global supply chain shut down? We were really worried about things like toilet paper and to an extent food. And that's a result of our food chain becoming broader and broader. And so when we lose local production, we lose farmers here in the United States, here near Madison, near a metro area. We lose the means to make food here. We lose a lot of security, both in our personal lives and in our national identity.
Generally, I would think that of farmland in terms of being passed down generation to generation. Is that still the trend by and large, Allison?
Yes, that definitely does occur quite a bit. But, you know, farming is very difficult. And not every person who receives farmland wants to farm it.
And, you know, there are, like Adam, people who want a farm that have no land.
Exactly. And so part of what, you know, this program tries to do is provide an option, you know.
You're making these connections that would be needed in order to continue beyond the family when the family doesn't want to farm anymore. And for young farmers who don't have that family to get started in the first place, you seem to be that middle ground where folks can find the network that it takes to get a farm off the ground.
That is the hope, yes.
What else have we seen besides Adam's story? What are we seeing other success stories like this? How common is this is this process of getting young farmers property and land to successfully farm?
Well, we have several farms that have been in transition across the country, you know, and we have folks from, you know, throughout Wisconsin and the Midwest in particular that are currently on land that are renting it and preparing to purchase it from AFT. I think one of the things that's important to note is that this is not a quick process. You know, we want the farmers, once they're on the land, to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so we can't turn around within, you know, a month or two and make that happen. So part of this is like is creating that safety net and making sure that, you know, we're doing this over time in a way that makes sense and that, you know, folks are comfortable with.
And Adam, in your email, you know, you concluded by saying if we could just get one person to get interested in creating one of these agricultural conservation easements, we will have done our job here on the Larry Mueller Show today. So what if someone's interested in putting their land into an easement like this? Where can they get started? What's the process like?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start off by saying this has changed my life. This has been something I never thought I could do before. I thought the dream was gone, and I was able to do it because of this BioProtect Cell program.
I wonder how many young farmers like you are thinking, I can't be a farmer because I can't find the land. I bet your story is not unique.
And it's not. I have so many peers, people who have been working in agriculture. We've dedicated our lives to sustainable ag research, to working in this sector.
Yeah.
And we cannot buy land. And there's so many of us, and we want to be good land stewards. We're well equipped, we're knowledgeable, we're able, and we're willing. We just are unable to connect with the land opportunities. And so I cannot emphasize enough that if landowners are interested in this sort of program and they think that this could be a good fit for them, or even if they just want to learn more about it, if they're in the Dane County area, they should reach out to Groundswell Conservancy, and they have a website, groundswellconservancy.org. Or if they're outside of the Dane County area, anywhere but still interested, please, please reach out to American Farmland Trust.
And if you're a young farmer looking to connect with the network that it takes to get a farm off the ground and get some property, renewing the countryside?
Yep. Start the same place that I did, renewing the countryside.
So, Allison, give us some idea of what folks can expect when they reach out to you about an agricultural conservation easement. Where do they start, and what's the process like for them?
So it's much like a real estate transaction.
Okay.
We do a lot of investigation, kind of some understanding of what the landowner's goals are and vision for the property. We try to work out, you know, what a purchase price would be, what we can afford from our perspective, what the landowner might need.
Yeah, Paul had wondered if this is a donation, but there is it is a sale.
Yes, but we do need to have a way to make up that difference to cover the value of the easement. So donations definitely make that a lot easier.
Are you a 501c3?
We are a nonprofit, yes.
Okay. And we're going to add the American Farmland Trust link to our website, where you'll also find the link to Renewing the Countryside, and for folks in Dane County, Groundswell Conservancy. And Adam, I'm so curious to find your first harvest. I am so curious about these honeyberries and these pawpaws and everything else you have planned for your new farm in Verona, man. I'm very excited for you.
Well, keep an eye out for us in the Madison Farmers Markets at some point in the future.
looking forward to that. And Allison, what's the future hold for American Farmland Trust?
More projects like this, hopefully.
Very much looking forward to it, and I thank you both for sharing the story today, and thank you for joining us on the Larry Mueller Show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Adam D'Angelo, plant breeder at the Savannah Institute, runner of the project Paw Paw, and also a new farm owner in Verona. Allison Volk, director of the Buy, Protect, Sell, and Easement Acquisitions at the American Farmland Trust. And again, all the links will be on today's show note at WPR.org/Larry. When we continue, it is American Wetlands Month, so we could only bring in the Wisconsin Wetlands Association to celebrate. Largely misunderstood until recently, arguably. What do the wetlands mean to us? We'll find that out when we continue. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show.